and I'm getting all my carols mixed up. It's Laura would like to say a few words.
I just wanted to say a big thank you to all who helped out with the Cafe Cello last week. As you may have gathered, I wasn't expecting quite so many people to turn up. So thank you for all of you helped out, all of you who made our visitors welcome. And it was so nice because I'd kind of blocked out that evening in my diary thinking it might take me ages to clear up. But by the time I'd finished talking to some of the visitors there, I looked round and people had just done it. So people had just gone with it. There's so many people with such servant hearts in this fellowship. So thank you so much for that. And just to let you know that sometime in the new year there will be another one. So if anybody would like to play something on an instrument, sing something, read something, then please let me know and I'll try and get a programme together and I'll let you know when we've got a date for that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your welcome. Stephanie and I always enjoy coming over to meet with you. And I can't be too bad because you keep asking me back. The psalmist wrote, "To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he show us his mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt, too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and the derision of the proud." And we're going to sing now, "We have come into his house." So let us stand and sing. We have come to the house of the Lord. We have come in humility. We've come in expectancy. We come in confidence.
for Christ has opened the curtain to the Holy of Holies. We come into the house of the Lord. Be with us, O Lord, here. Amen. Our first reading is from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. Jesus said, "It is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed me to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and I gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Thanks be to God for his word to us. Anybody here ever been car sick or air sick? It's pretty horrible, isn't it? And you know the journey's going to carry on and you're not going to get any better. Anybody here heard of money sickness? No, it's not what you get when you swallow a penny. It's the illness that affects people who put too much importance on money and possessions. It's okay to have nice things. We all enjoy having nice things. But Jesus wants us to understand that we should never put money and possessions ahead of our relationship with God. He wants us to understand that we should never put money and things at the centre of our lives. He wants us to understand that they are not the most important part of our lives. Because if we do, we could come down with a bad case of money sickness. Jesus talks a lot about money in the Bible, and that's because he knew so many people were and still are money sick. He didn't say that money all by itself was bad. Of course it isn't. We all need money to buy things that we need to live. But what Jesus did say was that if we love money too much, that's bad. Suppose you treasured money and things more than anything else. Would that be a good way to live? No, it wouldn't, would it? Jesus has said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's telling us that if we put money in the centre of our lives, that's where all our thoughts and our efforts. Suppose you treasured something else. Suppose you put your love of God and your belief in the Bible ahead of everything else. Suppose you've been really practicing all your lessons because you treasure them above all else. That would be a much better way to live, wouldn't it? You know, car sickness lasts until we get to the end of our journey. If we get money sickness, however much more money we get, it doesn't make us feel any better. It just makes us feel bad all the time. Now, there's a story in the Bible about Jesus' disciples who went into the temple, and they told the man there that they hadn't got any silver or gold because they were putting Christ at the centre of their lives. And we're going to sing the song about Peter and John now. Peter and John went to pray.
We'll be action.
Who does the action?
Well, I'll get some amazing people to
watch. Yeah, that would be. Stand up, because you can't do the actions without standing up.
Thessalonians 5,
verses 1 to 11. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labour pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. And put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Thanks be to God for his word.
Let us pray. Lord God, how great you are, how small we are. How infinite is your wisdom, how limited is ours. How everlasting you are, how brief our span of life. How good and high are your ways, how selfish and impure are ours. O Lord, take our weakness this very hour and transform us by your mighty power. Lord, help us to put you first in our lives so that others might see the difference you can make in their lives. For we ask it, Lord, in your name. Amen. We're now going to sing again, Colours of Day.
Oh,
example, we could ask those who voted Conservative at the last elections to go over there, and those who voted Labour to go over there, and the Liberals over there, and the Independents, well, you can go anywhere you like. So that would be one way of dividing us up. Or we could divide you up on, well, those who are working, you could go over there, and those of you who aren't working because you're lazy, you can go there. And those who've retired can go over there, and those who are still at school or college can go over there. We could divide ourselves up like that. How else might we divide ourselves? I don't know. Those who are grandparents over there, and those who are parents over there. And that's a bit difficult, isn't it? Because you need to be in both groups if you're a grandparent. Because I don't think you can be a grandparent without being a parent. But all of these things, the way we can divide ourselves up, it separates us from one another, doesn't it? But does it really tell us about one another? We can sort of say, well, and if you do that, we start saying, well, I'm better than that group over there, or I'm more intelligent than that group over there. But God is asking us to come all together, to be united by his Spirit and do what we can for him. What does it say above the door when you come to church? Anybody remember? Yeah. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. I bet that 90% of you walked into church today and didn't read those words. But they're there every week. And the story we had today in the gospel lesson was a story about the people with talents. So this, we could divide ourselves up, couldn't we? We could say those who've got five talents. But what did that story really mean to us? Two of them used the talents they had been given, and to the best of their ability, they created more. The third one, he was given a talent, but he decided he'd bury it, so when the master came back, he would be able to give it back to him. Out of fear, it says, he refused to act positively. What talents has God given to you, to me? Do we use them? Jesus uses that analogy of money to make an important point about our Christian lives. Jesus tells us that we are expected to perform our Christian duty according to our ability. Each disciple of Christ is graced with unique power and capability to serve God's will, and each is expected to live up to that power and that capability. But do we sometimes worry that we're not going to be good enough? We think, well, I'm not really very good at that, so maybe I will hide at the back. Or, well, I could play a musical instrument, but every so often I might play a wrong note. Musicians, how many of you have played a wrong note in the last month? See, I was being kind there, wasn't I? But have you ever heard it said that those who do nothing never make any mistakes? And it's also said, if you don't make mistakes, you never learn. Jesus told us that we know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. If we only come to church in order to be able to stand up and say, look how good I am, then that's a true sign that actually we're not. But do you love one another? I'm sure when we're told the command to love one another, in our heads and our hearts, we all say, yes, I will. But do others know that you love them? How do we know that others love us? Okay. How do we know that others love us? Well, we could tell them, I love you. Sandra, I love you.
I love you too, Amy. Yeah. Pick on me, Dave.
Which, no, I know you won't be embarrassed and, and get at you later. But it's easy to say you love somebody, isn't it? And when somebody says, I love you, sometimes our response is, do you really? Because we're not actually showing that we love one another. And it takes risk to show that we love one another. It also requires us to know about each other, and it also requires us to let other people do things for us in love. Stephanie and I were at a church when we lived in Essex, where there was a little old lady who complained bitterly one time that nobody had said good morning to her in church on Sunday morning. The fact that she'd come in as the service was starting and rushed out the door as the service was ending, and she hadn't said hello and good morning to anybody. But are you like that? Do you sometimes come to church and come in a little bit late and get out as soon as the blessing has been given because you're scared that somebody might talk to you, might ask you about yourself? Worse, they might ask you to do something. But Jesus said, love one another as I love you. Jesus knows us. And he loves us. And he did things for us. What did you do for somebody here today? Just look around and think, when did I last say or do something for somebody here that they needed to be done? Look around and think, well, I don't actually know that person well enough to know whether they need something being done for them. Love one another is a great commandment, but it actually quite a difficult one to live up to, especially if we don't get to know one another. We can also, of course, really get to know everybody in here, and we can really have great fun and fellowship with each other. But what about people outside? There's a story about a town lived on the coast, and there were rough seas there, and there were shipwrecks there. And so they started a life-saving society, and they built a little clubhouse, a little boat. And whenever the seas were rough, they kept watch and they looked out for it. But over time, more and more people joined the team. And they started to think, well, we need a bit of a bigger building because when we have our monthly socials, it's a bit cramped in here. So they built a bigger building to have that social building. And it was larger than the original building. It was beautifully furnished and decorated. And slowly, it transformed into a clubhouse as more amenities were added for the members' pleasure and comfort. As a result, some of the members began to lose interest in what the organisation was really there for, which was about looking out and rescuing those who were troubled at sea. But then a shipwreck occurred and many survivors were rescued and brought into the clubhouse for first aid. During the frenzied activities, there was some superficial damage made to the attractive clubhouse. And at the next members' meeting, there was a split in the membership. Many of the members felt that the life-saving operation had been a hindrance to the social life of the organisation, and look at all the damage that had been caused. And those who disagreed were told, you can go and build another little life-saving station down the coast. We're going to keep this one and have a good time here amongst ourselves. Strangely, as the years went by, history continued to repeat itself. And along that stretch of coast, there are several exclusive clubhouses dotting the shore. But not one of them is in the business of rescue operations. Sometimes our churches become like that, don't they? We're actually in the role of rescuing lives and rescuing people. But do we become inward looking? Do we look at ourselves instead of looking at others outside? Jesus said, whoever does not pick up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you want to share in the good life, the abundant life I have come to offer you, you must love one another as I have loved you. The ancient Egyptians believed in a final judgment after the death that consisted of only two questions. If the deceased answered each question yes, they could continue their journey in the afterlife. The first question was, did you bring joy? And the second question was, did you find joy? As Christians, the questions are, did you bring love? And did you find love? When we were little children, we took for granted that each day would bring us greater joy. We celebrated everything, flowers, animals, other children, caring adults, learning. But it's so often, isn't it, as we get older, we forget about the joy in life, the joy in things. Do you think it's worth the risk to invest your life in the kingdom of love so that the Father will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master? All we need to do is love one another as Christ loved us. Amen. After our next hymn, we're going to gather around the table for communion. And all who believe Christ is their Saviour are invited to join with us in the bread and the wine. Now we sing, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour. Lord, we come to your table trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may forever live in him and he
in us. For the tradition which Paul handed on to you came to him from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. So do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after cupper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We are now going to have a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread and the wine.
Let us pray. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown in us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power by lifting up the downtrodden, healing the sick, and loving the loveless. We are thankful for the gifts you have bestowed upon us. Help us to use the talents given to us to our full potential to further your kingdom. Let us confidently believe that we are forgiven through Christ and to grow in faith and love day by day. Almighty Saviour, last week we remembered those who fought and died for our freedom. You fought for our eternal soul. You did not use weapons or force. You fought evil and ignorance with wisdom, with mercy, and with kindness. Your death upon the cross meant redemption for the world. We cannot imagine the burden you bore for us, but we thank you for the sacrifice you made, and we praise the awesome wonder that is you. We pray for our world today. In the face of darkness, we turn to you as our source of strength and hope. Grant that we may remain full of courage, that we will spread your light throughout the world. Let us stand together in fellowship, filled with your Spirit. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Jesus took the bread,
broke it, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." As we receive the bread, we partake of it in recognition that Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for each one of us. Amen. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. I shall pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. As we receive the cup, we retain it in order that we might partake of it together, remembering that Christ unites us through his Holy Spirit into his people. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with your body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and your glory. Lord, we remember those who are in need at this time. We remember those in our fellowship who need you in their lives because of illness, because of problems in their lives. Lord, loving God, in the security of quiet prayer, we bring to you those who we know who are in need this morning. We commend to you, to your blessing, all those who we have named in our minds. And we bring to you all others in this world of us who are suffering in mind or body. We pray for those who feel themselves forsaken or betrayed, and for people who, having worked or struggled, have nothing to show for it except the signs and penalties of failure. We pray for the victims of injustice, for all who must endure the scorn and mockery of lesser men, and for those whose friends have all gone. We pray for any who face a martyr's death. We remember all who weep and thirst. Great God, we pray for the world in which Jesus lived, which he loved and taught us to love, and for which he died. We pray for those who are hurting, for those who are fearful, for those who are grieving. As Jesus through death came to new life for us, so may we and those for whom we pray come to new life, to the glory of your name. We pray for all the local churches in this town of Kettering. May their lives of worship and service be used by you, guided by your Spirit, and may they be filled with the joy of your risen Son. And may they with us be brought ever deeper into partnership as we celebrate and serve you together. May we in this place be a place of compassion, justice and vision. May your will, Lord, be done and your love active in our community and in us. And we say the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now stand and sing, O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Go to a hungry world, bring help. To a yearning world, bring love. To a discouraged world, give hope. To a wandering world, give leadership. To a lost world, bring the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And let us say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.